Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.
How you doing out there, ThinkBigRadio.com listeners? Big here, your host tonight. I'd like to thank you all for your continued support and spreading the word about ThinkBigRadio.com. Tonight's guest was Sarah King from Columbus, Ohio. Her website is www.sarahkingbeauty.com. This big thinker has been helping others to see the beauty in themselves for over a decade. She's a professional makeup artist and founder of the Love My Curves movement. Now, Sarah couldn't make it with us right now at this moment, so just in case she's able to come on, because she has a real big day ahead of her in Ohio, basically running this show, and you could probably find out the information on sarahkingbeauty.com. I'm going to share a little reading with you, which comes from the Society for Effectual Action. So for those of you who are interested in, as always, on increasing your experience in business, life, great website here called effectuation.org. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a little article from this called A Taste for Entrepreneurship. If you were going to be in the restaurant business, you would probably want to be Claus Meyer. His Copenhagen-based eatery, Noma, was held as the best restaurant on the planet in 2010. Featuring Nordic cuisine that includes fresh seafood, local herbs, and even radishes and edible dirt, Noma draws superlatives from the critics that go beyond delicious and mouthwatering to describe it as intelligent food served with such love you can't help but love it back, and forever to change your palate. And so even if you might not be able to get a reservation at Noma, it might be interesting to know the ingredients behind its success. Without a recipe, Myers grew up in Denmark, in a setting where food constituted neither pleasure nor luxury, but necessity, functional and inconvenient at best. Intending to become a banker when he was a student, he spent a year living in the south of France. There, the purpose of food took on new meaning. It was more than nutrition. It was beauty. At the age of 21, he returned to Denmark and knew deeply inside, I wanted to change Danish food culture, and I believed I could do it. A grand vision for someone yet to finish university. In fact, a vision so broad it provided no clear starting point. From the fridge, cooking meals and starting new ventures have a lot in common. As Meyer himself points out, one way is to start with a tried and tested recipe, get the necessary ingredients, follow instructions carefully, and produce a company. The other way is open the refrigerator, see what is available, get to work chopping and create something, a new dish, an unexpected business model, an entirely innovative venture no one involved could have predicted in advance. Meyer took the second path, capitalizing on the availability of the university kitchen to launch his first venture, Myers Kokken, a catering and delivery business for students that he served on his Raleigh bicycle into the kitchen. While the bromide too many cooks spoil the soup might apply to following an established recipe, new ventures more often start like Myers Kokken, as a function of both what is available and who wants to tie on an apron. Indeed, cooks of every kind and even non-cooks have joined with Meyer and contributed their own ingredients and flavors. The result is that Meyer and his partners have launched nearly a venture a year in the last 25 years. The Meyer Group imports chocolate to Scandinavia with partner Soren Silvest, relationship that could have ventures in both the coffee import and the cafe business. With Met Martinson, Meyer created a theater-like restaurant and also built a factory to manufacture soy cakes. He has hosted a cooking television show with Danish TV channel DR1, and yet more collaboration has taken him into the hotel business, corporate catering, food consulting, and a non-profit food laboratory. He established a micro vinegar brewery in Denmark, an organic commercial orchard on an island south of Copenhagen, and a boutique bakery as well. He has authored several cookbooks, given lectures, and is active on health and wellness research. So while we're on health and wellness research, let's take a look at one of our callers who called in from the 630-696 area code. Although Sarah King is not yet with us, we'll still take calls and see what's on the minds of our friends Friday. All right, from the 630-696 area code, this is Big, one of the hosts of ThinkBigRadio.com. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How's everything going?
Great. What's your name and where are you from?
My name is Carla Stokes, and I'm in Columbus.
Oh, hi, Carla. You have the same name as our chief our chief communications officer.
It's me.
From the same place. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. I was calling in and listening to the show.
Okay. Well, Sarah King, she hasn't been able to make it so far, so what I decided to do, just in case she was going to actually come on, was I'm reading from effectuation.org. It's the Society for Effectual Action, and I was reading the article called A Taste for Entrepreneurship. Well, this article was basically dealing with how cooking was the same as starting a business. For those of you who don't know, Carla, our chief communication officer, has been with Think Big Radio basically since the onset. And she's one of those big thinkers who can just take the smallest thing and create something out of it, the same way as we're talking about this kitchen with the article. Carla, would you like to comment on anything that comes to mind right now dealing with entrepreneurship?
Well, I'm going to write my encouragement email tomorrow, which is for Super Saturday. And
okay.
One of the things that I'm going to be talking about is the book that we were discussing at my job. It's called The Small Big, and it's just talking about how to focus on some of the small things in order to move the organization forward, like looking at, you know, the small things that really move the organization, like interaction. Especially when you're dealing with numbers, because it, you know, kind of help people visualize differently and looks more exact. But when I think about it, I think about the small things that people do to get them involved with the activity they're thinking about starting the business, like the small steps you
mm-hmm.
take, like the moment when you're sitting there and it's just like it just explodes in your head, and it was something that started out as a thought, which is, you know, a fleeting word that they may have seen, a fleeting moment or something that started out small. Great things aren't like boulders that fall down. And then you think like, oh, great, because you can't see all of it. You can't fully encompass it. But when you start with something small, you can see it, and then you can see how you can grow it. I think a lot of times people get caught up in the big aspectness of it, because then they just see, oh, it's going to be big, it's going to be big, but they can't wrap their minds and their arms around it. So, you know, I just think that's what I've been thinking about today. So that's some stuff I'm going to be looking at tomorrow, and the book that's a must-read will be The Big Small.
Wow, that's great. And you know what, that does really kind of put into perspective when people think about starting something big. You know, they have these big ideas, and a lot of people might be around them, and those people may not be, you know, as positive or have that type of vision or foresight, and they can't see all of the little steps. So when they start whittling away at this, at what this person is looking to accomplish, you know, the person may decide too, like, you know what, maybe this is too big for me, instead of taking it down into those little steps. Most people that know me know I love movies. And one of the movies that I always think about was, I can't think of his name, it might have been Dan Aykroyd, but he was in a movie and it was called Baby Steps. You know, he said, baby steps, baby steps, baby steps. And that's what he did in order to get to where he was going. What I would like to share with our listeners, Carla, is one of the things that you've shared with our team. And for those of you who are interested in our team, you can visit thinkbigradio.com and click on the host link. Well, Carla, she puts out these very enlightening and positive messages every week that gets our team started, whether it's Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, and she comes up with these great names. I'd like to share with them Taco Tuesday, if that's okay.
Oh, definitely.
Now, just so that you guys know, one of the things that we're all big on is continuously learning. As you see, we don't have our Sarah King here today, but we will have her in the future. I started reading an article on entrepreneurship. Carla just came on and brought up the same thing about what her talk's going to be about. But I'd like to just share with you one of the things that she has sent us. Okay, it's Taco Tuesday. Good morning, big thinkers. It is Taco Tuesday. I'm sure you giggled at that one. I'm not talking about the food. I am talking about think about changing outlooks. Taco. Think about changing outlooks. So often we see what is in our range of sight and sometimes miss what is in our periphery. Yes, the large things may cross our vision, but what small things are we missing? Today, let's look for the small thing, the thing that we may have passed because its true nature wasn't easily detected or made known. Take a moment to see what this small thing has to offer you on your journey. If you played old school video games like Mario, it is that rock that turned out to be a stash for coins. Enjoy Taco Tuesday. And she always gives us these ripples. And so the ripple here for the week, sometimes you have to close your eyes to see clearly. Carla Stokes. One of the books that she mentioned here is Lessons in Applying Passion and Perseverance from Prominent Entrepreneurs. Carl, I like to say that that was very motivating, and we all look forward to your writing. And just pretty much what you were just talking to us about, it was about those small things. Don't overlook them. And I know sometimes people feel like people are overlooking them at work, or like, you know, my status is so high, who are you? And you walk past that small thing who may have that million-dollar idea.
Right. And you think about, like this morning, you know, getting ready for work, my husband was playing a video, and it was KRS-One talking about the toggle switch that they have on these DJ equipments. Now, that is a small thing, but that made a dramatic difference in DJs, for DJs, being able to switch back and forth. And it was just like, that was one overlooked. Was something small that turned out to be ginormous in this industry. So, you know, you never know when inspiration is going to hit you, and, you know, if you're looking for it, you may miss it. But it's those things that you get when you're not looking for.
Now, Carl, I do understand you've got also a busy day tomorrow. For those who don't know some of the things that Carla does, can you tell us a little bit about tomorrow?
But tomorrow I'm hosting the I Love My Curves fashion show. It is a fashion show that's really in par with the movement about loving your body. There are so many times, I mean, men, women, you name it, wake up, look in the mirror, and like, oh, my goodness, I feel fat. I look bad. I this, I that, whatever. And it's based on not just what they see in the mirror, because if they just base it on what they see in the mirror, they should love themselves because they're alive, they're up, they're moving, they're able to do whatever it is. But it's based on all this background noise from society that's telling them this is what the perfect woman should like look like, this is what the perfect man should look like. Well, guess what? The perfect person comes in a variety of sizes, shapes, colors. You know, it doesn't matter. You have to love the skin that you're in. And I know that's like from those old movie, Love the Skin You're In. That's like, you know, they were ahead of their time. But the fact that we have to still keep reminding people, love yourself. Because if you don't love yourself, how are you going to expect somebody else to love you? And, you know, I get that from my Paul.
All right.
But it is true. You know, I know, right? I borrowed it. I will return it.
Well, we borrow everything from the ABCs, the words that we hear.
Right, right. Indeed. But it is a movement. And the people that are really suffering through it are women because, you know, just the things that I put on women and just the issues about sizes and about shapes and this, that, and the other. And, you know, women have, you know, allowed someone to walk into their space and tell them that you are not the right woman, or you're not a good woman, or you're too big, or you're too little, you're too tall, you're too short, you're too light, you're too dark, you're too. But, and the woman, you know, she can be strong for only so long. When she just like needs to step back, recoup, get her stuff together, and move forward. But some women and men don't have that resource. And so what we are trying to create are those resources and opportunities and those moments, whatever you need to say to yourself to, you know, when these attacks are happening, because they happen unexpectedly. And it's just you never know if someone's just going to come out of the blue and say something based on your size or your shape or, you know, your hair too short, your hair too long, your hair too dark, your hair too light, your legs too big,
And not only that, even the things that we may possibly think, you know, as we look into the mirror or we find out that something is, you know, too big for us now or in most cases too small for us.
Right, right. And then you think, like putting those two things together, if you look at something and the first thing you think, oh, no, that's not me. I can't do that because I'm, and then you fill in the blank with whatever descriptive word you want to have. But that thing that you're trying to do, it's not like looking at you like that. It's just like, I'm here. Utilize me. Do something with me. I was presented to you. There are so many opportunities that are dropped in people's laps, but they are afraid to do it because they think I'm too this or I'm not enough that, and it just goes awry. But what we're trying to get people to do is if you take this small step of understanding who you are and know that, you know what, like NDLE, I'm not that video girl, you know, I'm not my hair, I'm not my clothes, I'm not, you know, I'm the person that's in the skin. So let's do this. Let's do something to help you to understand that you are as beautiful on the inside as you are on the outside, and that's from your inside. That's from you saying this. If no one else tells me that I'm beautiful and awesome and amazing, I tell me. And so as long as I'm telling me, I'm getting up and I'm doing what I need to do.
And I definitely know how you women are, and you being married, I guess sometimes you give him the look and he just automatically, hello, hey, baby, you look great. even if he wasn't thinking about that at the moment.
Right, right. You know, you're just like, hey, I got my sexy on. I better get a compliment. And it's just, you know, just helping to understand. But just like, you know, we have a daughter. My husband's, when we married, he had two children. I had three. Mine are grown and gone. But we have a 14-year-old still at home. And so, you know, we're trying to explain to her that what the man that whatever little boy you looking at or thinking about or whatever, his minimum has to be what your dad is already doing. That's the minimum. That's the lowest amount. So,
wow.
And the And her father tells her every day, she's awesome, love her, you can do anything you want to do, you can be whoever you want to be. That's the minimum. And encouragement, right, and being there and listening. And if he don't even have that, keep it moving.
Yeah. And it's, and it, you know, and it, relationships, whether they're family relationships, business relationships, or the, even the individual relationships we have with ourselves when we're alone, you know, it's very important to have that
right.
encouragement or hear the right thing, the positive right. and the motivating thing, you know.
Right.
So I like, you know, tonight we could have done a number of things. I could have just hung up, switched the phone over, but we always, as big thinkers, take time to make others feel comfortable, make others know
right.
that they are, you know, worthy of anything that they wanted. And I just want to really finish this last paragraph in the article because it sums up so much of what we've talked about today and as far as entrepreneurship and as far as Taco Tuesday and taking those small steps. So I'm going to just finish this little paragraph here. Venture a la mode. In many ways, Meyer has come full circle. 25 years and nearly as many ventures later, he can fairly claim a recipe for his vision. Not through any one of his ventures, though, but through the process that led to the accumulation of them all. Changing Danish food culture or changing the world, real entrepreneurship needs to gather an enormous amount of information culled from the experiences of large numbers of people, such as those that contributed in some greater or lesser way to the runaway success of Noma. And the vision imbibes the restaurant flavors into a heady blend that appears to have always been part of the recipe. Entrepreneurship is not an all-or-nothing heroic act associated with the unique insight of a single chef. It is the combined learning, interaction, and application of mundane means that get transformed through acts of continual co-creation. It starts with Meyer taking the first step and then pushing onward step after step, partner by partner, not informed by a plan, but by the previous step, the people around him, and the available resources at each stage. And that's the end of the article. And once again, that was effectuation.org.
That was nice. I'm going to have to get that article.
Oh, yeah. Effectuation.org is great. And just to give you a little bit about exactly what this site is about now, I was Doug Lebda at a town hall meeting the other day, and Doug Lebda, he is the founder of Lending Tree. And one of the things that he brought up in his town hall meeting was how entrepreneurs think and the way everyone else pretty much thinks, and how sometimes the way that everyone else thinks, even though you have a plan, you have too many layers and too many people you have to go through in order to make things happen. And so one of the things he brought up is if you're a coder, code. If you're a person that empties the garbage, empty the garbage. So he brought up effectuation. So, of course, I Googled it and looked at it. And right here it says, a logic of thinking discovered through scientific research used by expert entrepreneurs to build successful ventures.
Mm-hmm.
So those are out there who may listen to this little thing here me and Carla put together for you, effectuation.org. And Carla, can you share with them your website as well?
www.hmgconsultants.com.
Well, we have about 5 minutes left. If you'd like, I'll let you close everything out. And if not, you know, of course, I'll end it with our Think Big Radio intro / outro.
Anything exciting happened today? Oh, other than today is the 10th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. Man, just, I mean, just a few moments of that is just, we watched a documentary the other day from Spike Lee, and I only seen a little bit. I started having nightmares.
Mm-hmm.
I can only imagine. And this is 10 years after the fact, and I'm just viewing a snippet. I can only imagine what the people that survived that and had to endure that, what they're feeling. And, you know, prayers are still going out. We still need to keep that area, you know, be under concern, because that was a natural disaster. And that those things are still in place. It's still in the area where you can have a horrible hurricane, things of that nature. So we don't know, you know, what the future holds and with all these changes, but we definitely need to, you know, pray for the strength of those people that are still there recovering. Because even 10 years later, they are still recovering. It is not back to what it was before the hurricane.
You know, I sometimes commute to work, and I was talking to a gentleman who was on the bus, and he was driving the bus, and he said that, you know, he was part of that group that were able to get out that was in the dome. And I had buddies who were in the National Guard who went down there to volunteer, and they said that the TV, the news, they really don't show all of the destruction and all of the things that are just not suitable for TV. And to them, it was almost as if, you know, they were kind of in a little war zone. You know, the post-traumatic stress disorder that they received from just the things that they saw. The devastation was that bad.
Right. Right. I can imagine the level of post-traumatic shock syndrome these people have. And then just think about the children who were too young to even comprehend, that are probably having just nightmares and don't even understand the full impact of it. But yeah, that was my thought today, and I put that on my Facebook. Miss Rain Comedian, just to remind people that we can't forget stuff like that.
Well, guys, I'd like to thank you also again for coming here. Those of you who will listen to the archive version, those of you who took the time to listen as we're on the line that I can see, remember, keep hope alive. Keep working on your dreams. And never give up.
Never give up. Never say die.
And with that being said, you guys have a great and safe weekend.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.